I'll tell you what, I'll talk instead then. How's that? So, how's everyone doing? That's good. I'm feeling pretty naff. So, anyone else feeling a bit under the weather today? I'll tell you what, this is going to sound bonkers. But I love it. At the moment, I'm giving thanks that I feel so naff, that I feel so weak, because you know what? When we're weak, then God is strong. If we're strong, how can God then also be strong? That's a bit controversial to start, isn't it? So, shall we pray? Lord, Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we focus a bit on your word, Lord, I pray that you will speak directly into our lives and situations. Lord, touch our minds, our souls, our hearts. Lord, let my words be yours and yours alone. Lord, we want everything of ourselves to fade away and disappear. Lord, we just want to hear from you this morning. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So over the last few months when I've been talking, we've been looking at our identity, haven't we? We've been looking at who we are in Christ, discovering that amazing, wonderful inheritance that as Christians we have, that we've been given freely by God and what it means for us. I don't know about you, but it's been pretty exciting, hasn't it? Rediscovering who we are, maybe for the first time for some of us. Well, guys, it doesn't stop there. This morning, we're going to cross the point of no return. Can you hear a pin drop? It's going to blow our socks off, which is going to be great. So, we all know, don't we, who we are in Christ. So, the next step on our journey this morning, what we're going to look at for just a short time, is maybe learning for the first time or rediscovering what we can do in Christ. Guys, this is going to be fantastic. And maybe, just maybe, we might start to put a little bit of what we've been talking about and learning about into action. Maybe we might start walking a little bit in faith or taking a giant leap in faith. So, the question this morning that I'm asking myself, as well as you, probably myself more, is are we ready to put our faith into action? To coin a really old way of saying things, are we ready to practice what we preach? Guess what? I've got a better one than that. Are we ready to walk the walk rather than talking the talk? You see, it is fundamentally important to learn and know the truth. It's important to read and study the Word of God. It's important to be in intimate relationship with Him. But at some point, we've just got to crack on. So my challenge this morning, and my challenge for where I am at, as well in my own journey at the moment, is this. Is today the day that I'm finally going to put my faith into action and get a move on? And I want to also extend that challenge to all of us here today as well. And I want to ask you, are we ready to walk in our inheritance? Anyway, before you worry about that, let's start by immersing ourselves once again in some amazing truths that we can read about in the Bible. So first, before we do anything else, we're going to very briefly look at what we can do in Christ. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Let's get one thing straight. We don't have to creep really gingerly into the throne room of God as if we're not really supposed to be there, as if we're not actually good. Oh, please let me in. We are 100% totally accepted in Christ. That means we can come right into God's presence in the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood has cleansed each and every single one of us from all our unworthiness, all, and made all of us worthy in his sight. We are in Christ. We have the amazing privilege of being able to pray in Jesus' name. And on top of that, we have the awesome, amazing certainty of faith that my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 16:23, that is. So, now in my own journey, I'm deciding that from now on, this is going to be my expectation. That I can ask God for anything in the name of Jesus. That I could ask God the Father for anything Jesus would ask for because I am in him. Are you all still with me so far? We also know, don't we, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We can read that in Romans 8:39. And we also know, don't we, from God's word, that in him we have been enriched in every single way. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things come and through whom we live. Do you remember last time I spoke, we discovered in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that God always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. So this morning, let's jump to Colossians for a bit. Because, guess what? There's still some wonderful truths to learn about who we are in Christ. Colossians 2:10 says, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. That is a belter of a verse, isn't it? We live in the one, Jesus Christ, who is the head over every single power and authority. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Guys, this is absolutely fantastic news. We never, ever, ever have to live in fear of any power or authority. We live in faith in Jesus Christ, who has already overcome and reigns supreme. So jumping backwards a bit from there, in Colossians 2, 6-7, Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And in just those two little verses, there are some amazing fundamental truths again for us today. In those verses, Paul is talking to all who have received Christ Jesus as Lord. So, if you're here this morning and you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, he is writing to you. Paul says we have been placed in Christ, so we are to continue to live in him. Or to put it another way, to abide and remain in him. Paul says we've been rooted in Christ. As Jesus is the word of God, this by definition means that we have been rooted in the word. And through his word, we have absolute certain confidence that we are in Christ. We also have amazing revelation of our inheritance in him. He is the source of our life in the Spirit. And the truth and revelation of who we are in Christ is the very heart of our faith, isn't it? It's the very heart of our Christian daily walk. That means that the more we live in the revelation of who we are in Christ, the more we will be built up and encouraged as believers. Because we're rooted in Christ, we're also rooted in Jesus Christ's love. Because we're built up in Christ, we're also built up in his love. The end result of all this is that we are strengthened in our faith. That is our faith working through his love. The faith that enables us to live according to our God-given position in Christ, taking hold of our inheritance that we have in him. And at the end of the verse, what is the outworking of all this? The result is that we will overflow with thankfulness. I tell you what, I can certainly testify to that. During the last couple of years when I've been walking through this journey of relearning who I am in Christ, I've also been more and more bubbling over with thankfulness and joy. And this is the wonderful fact that I'm now living with. It's the wonderful fact that I pray that you are also living with. Like I said at the beginning, I know I am weak. But I also 100% know that my weakness does not matter one little bit, because I have the life of Jesus Christ. I also have the strength of Jesus Christ, as it is my inheritance in him. Guys, I am so thankful for his amazing grace through which we have been given the fullness of the life of Christ. I am also so thankful that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from his love. And that my faith in him enables me to overcome no matter what the circumstances. Are you still there? Colossians 3:1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is the one in whom I live. Jesus Christ is the one in whom we live. Colossians 3, 2-3. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does Paul even mean here? I'll tell you one thing. He's not living in some fantasy, airy, fairy, made-up world. Paul has learned that in order to have victory here on earth, we need to know where we are in heaven. In heaven, friends, in heaven, we are reigning with Jesus Christ. That means we have supernatural resources that equip and enable us to overcome the natural weaknesses and temptations which we face on earth. I don't know about you, but in the past, I got to admit, I've always seen myself as a little bit weak, maybe a little bit useless, probably even seen myself as a failure. Has anyone else ever been there? You know why? All because in the past I've been looking at myself through my natural eyes, my natural thoughts, my natural feelings, and my natural emotions. Not anymore. Today, it stops. I said, not anymore. And I hope we choose to see myself as an overcomer, because I am in Christ. Christ Jesus, the one who reigns supreme over all. is anyone else with me? Hallelujah. Come on, this is exciting stuff. Maybe if I wasn't feeling so snotty, I'd be a bit more. I'm gonna be a bit more somber now, though, for just a couple of minutes. Do you know what else I've realized? I've also realized that we cannot live this life of victory by being double-minded. Yeah? Switching from one way of thinking to the next. In James 1:8, we read, "He who doubts is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." And in the verse before that, we read, "Such a man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord." I don't want to be that man. Guys, what that means is we've got to make these decisions for ourselves once and for all. Am I in Christ or not? Are we in Christ or not? If we are in him because we are Christians, then all we have seen and read in God's word about inheritance in Christ is true for us today. It's a solid fact. So, excuse me. For myself, from this point on, I'm now making the decision that I will always see myself in Christ. I will always think of myself as being in Christ. I will always think of myself in Christ, that I possess all I have in Christ. Now, this isn't me being proud. This isn't me bigging myself up. It is the truth of who I am. It's the truth of who we are, as it says in the very Bible. This is where it gets good. That also means that from now on, I am going to believe who God says I am in Christ. I have what God says I have in Christ. I am able to do what God says I can do because I am in Christ. This is such great news, isn't it? Yeah? In fact, let's have some participation. What? Participation? Is that a word? I'm not even going to try to say it properly. Let's declare that to each other now, shall we? Turn to the person next to you, yeah? And say to them, I am able to do what God says I can do because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Right. Can you see where we're going? It's going to be exciting, isn't it? Risky, but exciting. So, for myself, I have now drawn a line under some of the negative things that I used to think about myself, yeah? I will not let myself be pulled away from the truth by my negative thoughts or feelings about myself. The fact is, guys, we are all weak. But none of us are failures. There are simply no failures in Christ. We will not, from today, let the enemy persecute us with taunts that we cannot be in Christ because of our performance. Because our performance seems so far removed from our position. Guys, we didn't perform to get the position. God gave it us through nothing to do with ourselves. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Guys, from this point on, Let's hold fast to the truth of who God says we are, having his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which, to be fair, to be frank, is far superior to our own. So, once again, what is the result of living a life of faith like this? What's it look like? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Guys, where have we been placed? Guys, where do we live? That wasn't rhetorical. In Christ Jesus. What does that mean God's will is for us then? That we are to be a joyful, prayerful, and thankful bunch of people. Hallelujah. Even when we don't feel like it. Notice, there's nothing negative there, is there? It all sounds pretty positive stuff. How on earth can we give thanks in all circumstances? How on earth? I'm sure we can all think of circumstances, even if we're not in the midst of any now, where we would think, how on earth can we give thanks in every single circumstance? Because we know that whatever our situation, wherever we find ourselves, wherever, whatever we face, we are in Christ Jesus, the overcomer, and nothing in the universe, let alone this world, can separate us from God's love. Do we let our circumstances rule over us? Absolutely not. No way. Never again. In Christ Jesus, we will prevail over every single circumstance and situation that we face. Amen? Guys, this is absolutely phenomenal. This is faith in action. So, my question this morning then, my challenge, talking to myself as well, by the way, we're sort of getting to the point of no return. And the question is, can I see myself as such a person as this? Can we see ourselves as such a bunch of people? I want you to turn again to the person next to you and ask them if that's how they see themselves at the moment. Right. I was going to say you're ready for the punchline, but it's not a joke. So, guys, the phenomenal, mind-boggling thing is that this is already how God sees each and every one of you. This is already how he sees me. He sees us always being led in triumphal procession in Christ. In probably the shortest letter in the Bible, Paul's letter to Philemon, Paul writes, I pray that as you share your faith with others, so you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. I don't know about you, but the more and more I talk to other people about who I am in Christ, my position in Christ, my inheritance in Christ, the more and more the revelation of that truth takes hold of me, takes hold of my life, and enables me to live even more in the good of it. Yeah? Every time I've spoken to you guys in the last year about this, it has massively, massively encouraged myself and built up my faith in who I am in Christ. And it's what Paul's saying in that verse in Philemon, isn't it? I pray that as you share your faith with others, you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. And guys, every single time I talk about my inheritance in Christ, who I really am in Christ, I am still in absolute awe and wonder of this amazing revelation. I get more and more excited about the possibilities of what really living in inheritance is about. More and more excited about the things that God would do. Just imagine it. The other little thing I've decided not to do, might take me a little bit of time to master this one, is never again talk about the no good failure that I often saw myself as. From this point on, I'm going to try my best to only ever talk about myself as God sees me. Once again, not because of pride, not because I'm on a massive ego trip, but out of a huge thankfulness to the amazing work of God's grace. You all know me pretty well. I love to talk. I'm not really one to keep myself to myself. Amen to that. But what you probably don't know about me is the other thing that I have started to do. I don't think even Louise knows this. She might do. Whew. Let me just read through this paragraph. Whenever I can't find anyone to listen to me, not very often, maybe whenever I can't find anyone who wants to listen to me, do you know what? I tell these truths to myself over and over again. Remember, the truth shall set you free. So, whenever I face testing circumstances from this point on, I expect maybe I'll face one in about 10 years or so. Kidding. Probably face one in about an hour. You know what, guys? Life is never easy, is it? But when I face circumstances and situations that seem stacked against me now, that don't seem fair, I'm going to remind myself of the truths of who I am in Christ once again. Because the truth is, written in God's word for all of us here, that God will always lead us in triumph through any difficulty because he has already promised to do it. Guys, once again, I am in absolute awe. And although I like talking, I don't really have the words to give proper thanks to God and Jesus. You might say, hurrah for tongues. What an amazing, wonderful, faithful God. How utterly fantastic, how great is his grace that he takes a totally unworthy, messed up bunch of people like us and places us so completely undeserved in Christ. all so that we can live in him and he in us. All so that we are co-heirs with him of all that God has to give. Not just a little bit, all. So that we are already seated in Christ with every single spiritual blessing in heavenly places. How mind-bogglingly amazing. So I just want to spend the last few minutes doing something slightly different. For those of you who are wondering, we're not got to the risky, scary bit yet. We're still on the encouraging bit. Anyone else here who, when they walk past a mirror, can't help but checking themselves out? Looking like a pretty good specimen today. Be honest. I'm sure I'm not the only one. We all know very, very well, don't we, how we look in the natural. Yeah? How often, how much time do we spend looking in God's word in the Bible, looking at who we are in the spirit? And I would just like to spend a little bit of time doing that, encouraging us up one last time, building us up. These are all truths that we have looked at in the last year. Guys, this is how God sees us. This is how God sees you. This is how God sees me. So, that's helpful. It's just turned off. Ah, back on. Number one, you ready for this? You are called and chosen by God. This is a work of his grace in accordance with his pleasure and will. Guys, he chose you because he wanted to choose you. You have been crucified with Christ. When he went to the cross, he also took you there with him. He put you, the sinner, to death so you could be the new creation that you are today. Hallelujah. What's that mean? We've died. You're dead. We died with Christ. So let's not try and resurrect the old life. Don't go delving into the past. It's dead and buried. We have new life. Hallelujah. We have been raised to new life with him through faith. His life, our life. We have a rich inheritance. Amen. You are set free. On the cross, Jesus did absolutely everything necessary to free you from every single bondage. He has set us free from sin, guilt, continual failure, sense of weakness, from the oppressive work of the enemy, from sickness, grief, mental anguish. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. We've been made one with God. We've been made holy. We're no longer under religious law. Hallelujah. Guys, Jesus died to save us from the curse of the law, trying to please God through obedience to some religious code or system. Now, in his spirit living in us, his spirit can work in us so that we can live in true and loving obedience to him. The next one's phenomenal. Jesus intercedes for us. We live in Christ. We live by faith. God lives in us by his spirit. We live in God's grace. We are fruitful in Christ. We abide in his love. We are sons of God. Because of all this, now we are able to obey God. Not because we tried to obey him on our own. Now we walk in the light. Now we act in his name. Now we are men and women of the word. Now we are weak in him. Guys, in our natural lives, we will always be weak. But this weakness is also our greatest strength. For God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So like Paul, when we're weak, then we're strong. Weak in ourselves, strong in him. Amen. Jesus has given us the victory. It's not a future thing. It's given already. We are a member of Christ's body. God will answer our prayer. Amen. We're able to draw near to God. We are covenant children of God. God's promises are for us. God meets our every need. Our future hope is in Jesus Christ. We are part of his eternal kingdom. God has already made each and every one of us who has put their faith in Jesus Christ part of his eternal kingdom. He's already delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have our inheritance in that kingdom, don't we? And you know what? This is the most amazing thing. That kingdom was designed for you and me before the beginning of the very, very world. Before the creation of anything. And ultimately, the time will come when we will all shine in the kingdom of God the Father. So, where can we possibly go from here? Don't get me wrong, we could read the Bible, we could read those truths again and again, which we certainly should. But at what point are we going to take that leap of faith and start walking the walk, talking the talk, practicing what we preach? When are we going to put that faith into action? When are we going to say, enough is enough, no more, never again, from this point on, everything is going to be different? The ironic thing is our circumstances probably won't change very much in the physical. Some of them will, some of them won't. But I tell you what will change. When we really, really grasp hold of who we are, all fear will disappear. We'll be filled with an amazing peace that transcends anything we could possibly think about. At least I'm getting some steps in on my fitness band. The thing is, you see, if we're going to be serious about this and we're going to live with this faith, we're going to live and walk in this revelation of who we really are in Christ Jesus. It's not an easy thing. It's not a throw off the wall thing where we just go, yeah, I'll do it. Because we don't want to be a double-minded people. We want to be a resolute people. We're still going to fail. But we know when we turn back to Jesus, when we turn back to God, he restores us immediately. It's not really about our performance. It's all really about what God has already done and already given to us. And I don't know about you. I can't be the only person desperate to start living in this way, walking in this inheritance that I've been reading about for years in the Bible. Some of us, myself included, in the past have experienced, I suppose is a good word, or walked in this for a season maybe. But I don't believe this is for a season. I believe this is living. It's what Ephesians is all about. This is living. And so, I suppose the challenge is for you guys then, if we see ourselves like that, why don't you come and join me so I'm not the only person who is walking up and down feeling nervous about what I'm doing. So if you would really want to take hold of that inheritance of who you are, then why don't you come and join me? By the way, I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's risky business, God. If you're not sure, that's absolutely fine. I don't mind if I'm the only person in the room. But I know so this is awkward. Ah, well done. Not so awkward. Anyone want to join us to make it awkward if you're still sat down? I'm only joking. No. No, just can't stand still. I just want to make one final point. I'm just thinking about the best way of saying it. Oh, I can feel my feet rumbling when I stand on here. Guys, claiming this inheritance, living as God designed for us to all along with the full power of Christ. This is not something that we can ever do by our own efforts or design. This is something that is already there, already given, already for everybody who calls themselves a Christian. Finding it funny because I don't really know what's going on.
Okay. Okay, so what Alan is doing, I'm very proud of Alan. Can I just tell you why I'm proud of him? It's because he has, in his life, had major challenges, lost his mum when he was a young lad, chosen to follow Jesus regardless of what the pain of his life has been. The hand of God is upon him, and he's learning now what to do. Now, what happens is when God gives you something, he does not give you the whole story. He only tells you this is the little bit of light, you've got to walk in it. And you will not get revelation in the rest of your life until you actually walk in that bit of light that God's given you. So what I think God wants to do, it's what I think God wants to do. I don't have the answers. I just know he wants to do something in your life. And each of you that have stood out today, I believe God already is going to pour out a very special blessing upon your life because you've responded. But if you sit in your seat and you stay where you are, you will always have what you've got. Because God's not going to give you anything else until you walk in that bit of light that you've got. And part of today, I believe, is you're stepping from where you are into the next thing God has for you. And he will then reveal to you what the next step is. You understand that? He's not going to give you anything else yet until you're ready to have what he's given you now. And he said it, and he said it, and he said it, and it's up to you. What do you want? Do you want what you've got? I don't. Do you know what? I don't want to stay where I am. Stay where you are. If you don't follow the cloud, you don't follow the pillar, you die in the wilderness. So you need to step forward and move forward into the light God's given you for the next part of your life. Otherwise, you'll stay where you are. Your choice. I think one of the things is I'm going to ask Daniel in a minute to pray something. I believe Daniel is carrying something that he wants, that God wants to bless people with. And God will reveal that to Daniel as he's thinking, God, what on earth is going to happen now? And then we'll hand over back to you. Is that okay? So does this make sense, church, what God is saying? If you want to stay where you are, if you want to be in the place where you want to be, that's fine. You might be in a good place, that's okay. But if you want the next thing from God, then you need to step into it today.
I'm just reminded of Peter. He's up on the rooftop and he has he goes into a bit of a trance, you could call it, and he has a vision. And he's got all these, this sheet lowered down and all these creepy crawlies, and he's quietly freaking out because it's the complete contrary to everything he'd been brought up to believe. It's completely against his religion and his tradition. And I think secretly he's there going, no, I bind you, Lord, because it doesn't make sense. And it goes away. And then the second time he has to have it again. And it comes down, sheet lowered down, and a voice says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, no, God, we don't do this stuff. We're Jewish. We don't do this stuff. And a third time, he has to have the vision a third time. He's not getting it. He doesn't understand it. And I think he's quietly freaking out because it's against everything he grew up to believe in. He didn't get the revelation of it until he stepped out. He had to go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile house. He wasn't even supposed to be in a Gentile house according to his religion. He had to go to the house of Cornelius and he walks in and the words he says are, I most certainly understand now that who am I to call unclean that which God has called clean? You're not going to get revelation stood still. We don't know what the fullness of what is going on here, and that's absolutely fine. We just want something more, and we know that God wants to give more. That's all it is. It's a heart and a passion to see God glorified in fullness, to see us walk in the inheritance and the fullness. That's all it is. It's just a desire, and it's a passion, and that's why I'm stood here. I presume the same for everybody else. And I'm sure there's people that maybe can't stand, and that's absolutely okay, and you're here in heart as well. That's fine. I just want to pray and just declare something. I just declare a revelation over these people stood here. A revelation of the next step. They'd have the boldness and the confidence to step out, not knowing where you're going, but just a boldness to see the hand of God and grab hold of it, to be led. A boldness to be led and to not lean on your own understanding. A confidence that my God will never leave or forsake me. A confidence that he turns everything for the good of those who love him. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I've got his hand. I've got my faith. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I'm not stopping. I'm going. I declare the fullness of the inheritance of Jesus over these people in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, you are so awesome, so marvelous, so faithful. Lord, you've spoken such amazing promises into our lives. Lord, we're just standing here this morning. Lord, we're just saying all as one, Lord, that we're desperate, Lord, to walk in our inheritance in Christ. To claim the position, Lord, that you've already given to us. Not for ourselves, Lord. We're just desperate for you to come in your sovereign power and move in this place. For your kingdom to advance in this place where we live. Lord, we're so thankful that you've called and chosen us to be part of your perfect plan. Lord, once again this morning, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Lord, we know we're nowhere near perfect, Lord, but we refuse to dwell on that any longer. Thank you so much for the blood of the Lamb shed for us that paid the price once and for all, past, present, future, job done. Lord, we continue to cling to the cross. That's what we do. We refuse to dwell on ourselves. Lord, we want to see your glory come. So this morning, I really feel that God wants to do just that, what he's already promised to do, what he says he's going to do in his very word, that he's going to come in power. After all, we're simply commissioned to be as Jesus was when he walked on the world. In all the different aspects that entails. But I really believe this morning God wants to heal people, to set people free. We've already prayed for supernatural healing for people. I believe above that there's people probably in mental bondage, which is probably far worse than anything physical. And I know that God is just waiting to come and set people free. I mean, if that is you this morning, I would love to pray for you. If you're suffering under any form of bondage, no matter how small, no matter how big, this will be quite scary. But I also think that me personally, I don't want to just keep being a person who talks the talk. I want to actually, anyone else want to get cracking? Yeah? So this is going to be a really scary thing. But should we just get out there and pray for people? Is there anyone who specifically wants prayer for anything? Because I seriously want to pray for you.